to the WEC Podcast, episode 4. Today we are going to be talking about binge-worthy media, and I'm Mandy.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Kevin.
So I thought I'd start things off by talking about probably the first television series that I binged on, and then the last one that I binged on. So the first one that I can really remember truly, the public service announcement that all those, television and movie stars did recently, where they were kind of telling us, be careful, binging is bad, was Battlestar Galactica. I started by probably the middle of the second season.
Wait, are we talking about the new version of Battlestar
Galactica? Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Of course.
Yeah.
The Ronald Moore of Battlestar Galactica.
There's no binging on the old. That one, I gotta tell you, is much like what we talked on our previous podcast. Things when you go back as a child you loved and you went back as an adult and went, oh, are you kidding me?
Whoa. Yeah. Okay. Good to know.
That's my opinion. I could be wrong.
So I just randomly, everyone was talking about it. And of course, it's my kind of thing. And everyone was surprised I wasn't watching it. So I just randomly watched one episode and I was completely sold. And I had to immediately stop because I could tell there was so much to this story that I needed to start from the beginning.
Can I ask you, I'm sorry to interrupt, but what hooked you? Was it the pilot?
It was
the 2-hour opening?
No, the pilot was not. I picked it up right in the middle of, they were back on Caprica rescuing some of the people that had been left behind. And you still didn't know some of the people who were people were Cylons. There was still all this mystery and layers. And
is it the scene where there a bunch of people, there's like mushroom clouds in the background and people are trying to get on a shuttle?
No.
That's
no,
not it?
Way later than that. The first episode I saw was in the middle of the
season?
The beginning or middle of the second season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So gotcha. So then I'd never seen the pilot. So
interesting.
So then I went back and started with the miniseries. The first episode was like a 2-hour episode, I think. Okay. Anyway, and just watched from there. And I was obsessed. I mean, talk about binging. I mean, I could not stop. I would start watching episode after episode. I had to wait for it to come out on DVD because I think at the time this wasn't an option on Netflix or something like that. So wait for the DVD and then start. And then I was able to pick it back up and watch episode to episode, which was painstaking after I had just, binged, basically the first season and a half. But that was my introduction to the dangers.
Okay.
The dangers of binging.
I have a confession to make because before we started this, I said, I don't have a lot to do, but I don't binge. Okay, so seriously, I always thought Supernatural was kind of goofy because it looked like a show about two cute guys on the KTLA. And I was like, okay, well, that's not for me. I'm not into the young adult. I'm not into the zombie. I'm not into the supernatural. I get scared to death from crazy commercials. I don't think this is for me. And then I saw one episode, and it had to have been like a random episode in the middle of season 8 or 6 or 7, whatever it was. It was late. And I went and the next day bought on Amazon seasons 1 through 7. And it showed up in a box. From one episode. And I took a picture of it when it showed up, and I said, I am ill.
This is a sickness.
And then
it's a sickness.
Watched it from the beginning. I think this was probably my first experience with this kind of binging. And I loved it. Like,
and
absolutely
loved it. You've been trying to get us all to
watch
it ever since.
Yes, please, please. Somebody watch Supernatural with me.
Which is why those box sets are now at my house. But, and for me is, I know how I am, and I know once I start, I'm not going to stop. So I haven't started yet, because I need to have a good full day just to be left alone and watch them all at one time.
Okay, so I'm with you now.
Yes, you understand what this is all about at first, and now you do. Yes, the illness that is binge-watching television.
Horrible.
Battlestar Galactica, though. Oh, and I had so many people telling me how good it was, and I never watched it, and I'm too cheap to buy DVDs, and I don't have Netflix. So I actually had to wait till it came on BBC America, and then I watched. And luckily, they showed everything all at once, every week.
Like,
so I had it all there. but yeah. It was really good. Yeah. It was so good.
Fortunately, it for me, it, you know, in season four, it kind of just, it fell apart a little bit. I loved the beginning, you know, that struggle, but once they just totally embraced the mythology and that became what every episode was about, they lost me a little bit. I was happy with the way it ended. The ending was, I loved, but...
See, I liked it too, and I guess a lot of people were really, and no spoilers, just saying lots of people hated the finale. I liked it. I liked the whole premise of it.
Yeah.
Well, if you're talking about hating a finale, this brings up my actual first binge-watching experience, which was Lost.
Because I think I had been saying, I watched that from the beginning.
Yeah.
On television, yeah. Week by week.
Yeah, so Mandy would tell me about Lost, and I had a few other friends who would talk about Lost. I'm like, So Hulu...
And your problem was is that you knew that you would have to start at the beginning, right? And it was right. Like 3 seasons in or something.
Yeah, and because I'm not one who... I don't like starting a series, like, midway. I hate that, so... Hulu at the time wasn't subscription based. It was all free. So everything that was on Hulu was free, and Lost was on there, and that was my introduction to binge watching. I watched the pilot and it blew me away, and that's what sold me. And so I watched everything, and this was, I don't know, just before I think the final season started. So I tried to catch up as much as I could so that I could watch that final season. And it was, you know, I would spend like an entire Saturday watching episode after episode after episode. I mean, literally, I'd be laying on the couch with my laptop on my chest, just, you know, making sure that the screen doesn't black out because I haven't been touching the mouse pad or anything. And I'd be just, you know, gorging on this show. And that, I have to say, that experience was really good. I liked it because I didn't have to wait a week for every episode. But there's a pitfall, as I think, Kelly, you and I talked about with respect to Walking Dead. Because if you binge watch Walking Dead, you don't have that week to, like, unwind.
And you also don't have the people to talk to it about.
Right.
You know, right. And that's the one pitfall with binging and stuff is you miss out on that communication.
Like, yes.
Like with The Walking Dead, I have lots of people who I work with who watch it and I could discuss it. So, and
you
miss
were, like,
that.
Making me shut up. I would start talking about Lost.
Right.
Nothing. Did you know anything about Lost, though?
I knew the basic premise of it.
Okay, so then I have to ask you, since you knew some things about it, when Pablo and what's-her-name, the most annoying characters ever created for any show, did you know to fast-forward or did you watch them?
No, I watched them.
You're a brave soul.
Yeah, so I watched them, and I was not one of those people who read ahead at all. So I would just...
Purposely avoided it.
Yeah, I wanted to be surprised, because it's the surprise of those episodes that made it interesting to watch the next one. Why is this happening? I didn't quite catch up, so I think the season before the last season, I skipped. So I had to read, like, summaries of all the episodes. So I did miss that episode, the one where they... Well, I'm not going to spoil it. But I ended up getting up to speed, and then I could watch the final season fine. But you do miss that discussion with fans.
The hype.
As the episodes are going, because, you know...
It's really hard to avoid some things in the media. Just because, thinking of which, have you caught up with Game of Thrones yet?
No.
But you started watching it, right?
No.
That's your next dilemma, because that one is almost impossible to avoid the hype.
And I think a lot of times, like, some people are so militant about spoilers. And I'm one of those people. Tell me. I want to know. If it's good enough, if it's something I really enjoy, I'm going to watch it anyway. And I'm so bad that if I know I'm going to miss a show, I will... hunt out the spoiler to know what's going to happen. Yeah. I want to know. Yeah, I have to know.
That was why, having read the first 3 books of Game of Thrones, and I watched that week by week, so you'll be the one that'll have to binge, Kevin. But having watched this first, having read the 3 books really helped me emotionally deal with what occurs in, you know, in those episodes.
See, I can describe how I dealt with Lost I knew I would watch before I even knew that I was going to binge watch it. I would see commercials, and I would literally change the channel because I knew I could binge watch this, and I don't want to know what the hell's going on.
Well, at its core, Lost was a mystery.
Yeah.
So that is an example of something where I think could really be ruined by a spoiler here or there, because I never saw it. I always wanted to watch it, but I knew a lot of people who were watching it as they went, and then they would talk about it, and it was like, what is going to happen? And then I read about the creator of Lost, and when he pitched it, he didn't necessarily know. And then when it got picked up, they had to like frantically try to come up with all of this stuff.
The mythology.
Yeah. And a lot of it they were coming up with as they went. So I would imagine that spoilers on that would really kind of take away from them.
So are you similar to Kelly in the sense that you can read a spoiler and still want to watch the episode? Because I can't. The Game of Thrones is a good example. Anytime I read something in the news, like an episode is on and everybody's talking about it, I go to another page. I don't want to watch it. I don't want to read it. I don't want to spoil it. I know things about, like, the Red Wedding. I don't know details. I just know the Red Wedding. That's all I know.
There's always a wedding.
I don't know. It's like, I know people die. Don't know any details.
No wedding
that
is good in the Game of Thrones.
Right.
Yeah. So well, glad I was emotionally prepared for that.
So for me, I know eventually I'm going to see Game of Thrones because...
Oh, I have a brother and somebody hasn't watched it.
I haven't watched it at all. I haven't read the books. I know I want to. It's something that's right up my alley. On the other... But what I do is on Funny or Die, there is a video recap of the episode called Gay of Thrones, which is hysterically funny. Could be offensive to some. Oh my god, it's so funny. And I have watched that religiously. As soon as it comes out, I watch that. So I do know everything that's going to go on.
You have to watch it. Haven't watched the actual show,
no,
but you've watched...
You have to watch that, though.
The Funny or Die
one. Well, you can't... If you don't want to be spoiled, don't watch it. But
no.
He has nicknames for everybody. Oh my god.
There's so much to make fun of with Game of Thrones. I'll have to check that out.
But so, for regards to spoilers, I take responsibility for the spoilers. So, in other words, if like when a movie comes out and I do not want to be spoiled, I go see it right away. Because the worst thing I could do is a week later, I haven't gotten around to seeing it, and tell somebody who just went and enjoyed it, shh, 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 don't talk about it, because that seems mean to me. Cool. I'm not that. So, and also, if it would be my own fault, then if I ended up on a site that showed what happened, you know, I have control of that. So with regards to spoilers, if I want to see them, I will. If I don't, I don't.
Well, and then there's the people who, like, you'll say, okay, here's a spoiler, E.T. dies. And people are like, oh my god, how could you spoil that? That movie came out in 82. Get over yourself. It's been, what, 30 years?
Yeah.
You know what? There's a time limit. Yeah.
There's appropriate places that you would hope that people would censor themselves. Like in a review for a book.
Right.
You know, when somebody like throws out the mystery in a review. That's to me, that's not right. You shouldn't do that.
What was the movie? I See Dead People movie. What's that movie?
Sixth Sense.
They had a review of it.
Oh my gosh.
And they went spoiler, and I'm like, right. They gave it away.
Yeah, see,
even with that, even with
a
spoiler in there, that I'm like, that's not just a spoiler. That's a don't waste your time with this movie because it's now destroyed.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll go, there's a level above that. There's a, I've never bought a t-shirt from this place, and I'm not even going to tell, I'm not even going to advertise them. It's but they make t-shirts that are about the most offensive t-shirts that you can imagine. So we're talking Harry Potter here. We're talking a specific book where a specific character dies at a specific part of the book. And not going to mention it, but this company made a t-shirt that said, this character dies on page blah blah blah.
Oh my god.
And people could buy that t-shirt.
That's
and
so
walk
sad.
Around and basically spoil it. Like, go to a Harry Potter, like, line
oh,
and
oh
say, yay!
Oh, that's
just mean.
An offensive t-shirt that would be, like, not cussing, though. Can you imagine? Spoiler alert. And just list a whole list of things.
There are, like, t-shirts and, like, me, like, there are images where it's nothing but spoilers. you just Google spoiler like poster, and you'll see something like that. Okay. I know we're kind of getting off the track.
No. Actually, that leads me to a different type of media. There's a different type of media that I do binge on, and that is podcasts. I will binge on them.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about them, just like you were talking about last episode with regards to being able to go back to the beginning of something, you can go back to the beginning of something, download them all, and it's just like a nice, easy way of just filling empty, dead space in your world.
And the binge, my binge-worthy thing that I had thought about talking about on this is a podcast, and it's Serial. It's from the producers that do This American Life, and it's one story, and it's about a murder that happened back in 1999, and the guy was convicted, and it's basically going through trying to determine if he really is guilty or not. The person who puts it on, and I have no notes because I never do notes. So if you want specific names, please look it up. Serial. Then you can find it.
Serial with an S, not a C.
Yeah, Serial. Yes. It is not about breakfast food. But it goes through like her interviewing different people and looking through. And I just re-listened to the very first one before I came here today. And in the first thing that they mentioned, which is so true, is, you know what, think of 5 years, today, 5 years ago, wherever you were at, whatever time you're listening to this, can you tell precisely what you did?
Yeah, no.
And 5 years ago, I would have just had a smartphone, so it would be easier to trace. Well, this happened in 99. There aren't smartphones, or most people don't have them. How do you trace back what you were doing? And it's that aspect of it alone is fascinating. Also looking at people, what people say, what people, and how juries react. It's really an interesting story.
I have purposefully avoided Serial because of the fact that I could get pretty sucked into that pretty fast. And I've got a billion others. What I was going to say about spoilers is one of the podcasts that I did binge on for a bit was called Dragon Age Off the Record because I was obsessed with Dragon Age. And when they started playing the games, these two podcasters were doing such a good job at not spoiling it. And they would say things like, okay, guys, we're not going to talk about this, this, and this because we figure you probably aren't to that point in the game yet. But guaranteed, we're going to be talking about it next time, so catch up or don't listen. It was done very, very well, and it continues to be done well in terms of they give you a lot of notice in advance. And then I really didn't want to know because there is a lot that can be ruined by that. I would just avoid it. But there's other podcasts too that I will binge on that aren't necessarily like Serial, because Serial is unique in that it's taking a case. Are they going to do a different case?
That's what they're talking about. And I have to admit, the only reason why I downloaded it, well, first of all, I'd heard enough jokes about, hey, if you're this type of person. But what really made me really download it was they did a spoof on it on Saturday Night Live. And so I watched the spoof and kind of cracked up, and I'm like, this would be funnier if I actually knew what they were talking about. So I saved that episode on my DVR. I went back and listened to it all, and it was funnier, actually, after. But that's why I actually did it. But it's such a fascinating story.
That's funny.
And this perception and how same thing can be looked at by so many different people and everything.
Yeah. If you want a lightweight podcast that really is binge-worthy but on a different type of level, if you like Walt Disney World, there's a podcast called WDW Radio done by this guy named Lou Mangiello. He's been doing this for years. And so you can literally download for years of information. This is such a nice, he does such a great job. And he'll like, the last one he did, literally, it was him walking through Epcot with his friend who travels a lot, going, hey, is this like Mexico? Oh, yeah, you know. And I'm like right there, and all I'm thinking about is food. Oh, I hope you eat at the Japanese restaurant.
Yeah, it's funny how binge watching TV shows and spoiler alerts I never realized until now how they kind of go together. Because when I was binge watching Lost, when I was binge watching Breaking Bad, I didn't want to know the answers because I don't want to be spoiled. I don't want people to say, oh yeah, this person dies in this episode or whatever. I want to see it for myself. I want to be surprised. I want that emotional gut punch that happens when you see something that you're not expecting, which is why sometimes the binge watching is like the perfect way.
right. to see it. Especially with series that are mythology based. Not mythology as in, you know, like Zeus or whatever, but that have a certain, like, even Breaking Bad had its own mythology. It's like this, you know, and it really had like a through line. Like, you could binge watch a sitcom, but it's not, it doesn't have that same punch. It doesn't have that same thing. And let's face it, if I tell you what happens next week or last week on Big Bang Theory, which I love the show, you're not going to, those kind of spoilers, who cares?
Well, the other thing about big, like sitcoms in general, not necessarily Big Bang Theory, but is they don't have really an arc.
Right.
Yeah. Binge watching is something that makes you have to see the next episode immediately because you need to know what happens next.
Right, exactly. It's like Lost. You have to watch in order. Otherwise, I mean, it's kind of like soap operas in the sense that if you miss a week, you're going to be lost.
No, actually, in truth, you can miss a year of a soap opera just fine. Yeah. That's how they work.
They repeat everything over and over and over again.
Almost at the beginning of every scene. So when Caroline left for the Bahamas with her twin sister, Carolyn.
Yeah.
Then I guess soap operas have changed since like when I used to watch them.
But like another series that I binged and absolutely adored was Grace Point, which is a murder mystery where it starts off where they find a body of a young boy on the beach. And
was
then
that the American version?
No, the American one is
Broadchurch. Broadchurch is the British.
Okay, so Broadchurch. I'm sorry, yes. I did Broadchurch first, and then I watched Grace Point, and now, sadly enough, no one watched Grace Point, so there's not going to be any more Grace Point, but Broadchurch, the second season is going to be showing soon in America as well.
Oh, nice.
Yes, okay. That is another one I was binge-watching because it really hooks. One episode hooks right into the other one, and you pick up more details that way and make sure you don't miss the little clues.
I watched Broadchurch, but I did not binge watch it. I watched it as BBC America showed it. So I had that time to, I mean, I had it on my DVR and I would like rewatch it, but it would be just one episode. I didn't experience the whole thing. I don't know what the experience would be like to watch that whole episode. Or I'm sorry, that whole arc. Like in one sitting.
Yeah, sometimes it's really interesting what you notice about a series when you can. It's amazing how much the writers are really making sure that all the details are you're following through with so many different things, and you only notice that if you're binge watching. If you're watching it episode by episode, you'll probably miss some of those really clever things that writers are doing.
Yeah, and you forget.
Yeah. Yeah, there's another fallback about binge watching. It's trying to binge watch things that are old. So today, I think people make things that are small. So like House of Cards, I think it's like, what, 7 episodes or something like that. So if you're going to binge watch it, you can set aside a day and be done. But over my break, I decided Netflix came up with The Gilmore Girls. And I was like, oh, cool, Gilmore Girls. I watched it episode by episode when it first came out in 2000. So that was 7 years of my life devoted to the wonderful Gilmore Girls. Every episode, I'd cry and I'd laugh. That was just my thing with that show. I just loved it so much. So I thought, oh, I'll watch it again. So Gilmore Girls is 153 episodes. That is 7 seasons of 22 episodes each. So I started, and it was one of those things where it was really fun to watch back-to-back, you know, the characters, so many little things that I didn't know was first time around. But I got done with the first season. I'm like, that was 22 hours of my life, first of all. Second of all, I was like, I got 6 more seasons. There's no way I can finish this. And I started to get really upset because I was in that obsessive mode of I have to watch, I have to know what happens, even though I already knew what happens. And so then I had to start just kind of randomly watching an episode here and there because that was just too much of an investment.
Imagine if you've never seen an episode of The Simpsons and you were a completionist. You are screwed. Now, the channel FXX some months ago did like a every episode in a marathon. And I don't know how long it took. It took a while.
Days.
Yeah, it literally.
Skelly's like, I was there.
No.
But I totally feel for you because, I mean, if I was trying to tell somebody, God, you got to watch The Simpsons, but that's not really a show that you watch. In order. But, you know, if you're like OCD and you really have to see it in that order, you're
in trouble.
Well, and, you know, to put the Simpsons thing in perspective, if a child was born the day that The Simpsons premiered, they're well beyond drinking age.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it started in either 90 or 91.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Back when Arsenio Hall had a TV show.
Yeah.
So I have a question, because I was watching Eureka last night, which does that lovely little thing at the end of every episode. It's like at the end of great chapters in a book. It wants you to immediately go to the next episode to find out what's going to happen. And they're all strung along later on in the series. They didn't do a lot of standalones. It was mostly just the mythology going through. Do you think that... You were talking about House of Cards being less, but a lot happens in those 7 episodes, and a lot happens in the few episodes of Game of Thrones, and a lot happens today. They pack so much into... Whereas if you go back to an episode of Remington Steele, it moved that relationship forward like an inch each particular episode.
Yeah. But I think that's why they pack so much of them. Because, like, one of my favorite binge-watching, and I truly did binge-watch all 3 seasons at one time. Or I did binge-watch 2 and then watch the other one when it was Sherlock. But Sherlock is 3 episodes. It's 3 episodes, an hour and a half each.
Yeah.
Very manageable.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But there's so much information packed in. And the fact that they aren't the 4th season, who knows when it's going to come. But yeah, I think that's why they make TV like that now. It's because I think they're, as time's going on, more and more people binge watch. Everyone knows that's what they do. So they're making things more binge worthy and for that kind of viewing.
And I think, shocking, I would suspect.
Yeah. And I think the producers use the whole spoiler thing to their advantage. Because I was looking at the current advertisements for House of Cards. Say, now that he is president, and I'm like, what? I've only seen the first season. I'm like, so at the end of the second, they basically just revealed what happens at the end of the second season. And I was shocked. I mean, I had no idea, and I couldn't even imagine that that could ever happen, because that guy is horrible. But I was thinking, okay, so they did that on purpose, because they're saying, you better watch it when it comes out, or you're gonna, you know, we're gonna spoil it for you.
Yeah. Or the creators who use it to mess with people, because like Kirkman... Oh my God, he plays with that whole thing. He doesn't give away anything, but he plays with it to make you as anxious as possible about it.
Yeah.
Or he'll like drop something and then you can tell he's kidding, but yeah.
Well, this is something that Doctor Who does, the new Doctor Who series. They'll have an episode called The Wedding of River Song. And you're like, what the hell? There's going to be a wedding? Or the doctor's wife? Or the next doctor?
The next doctor.
You know, and you're like, the next doctor? There's going to be a regeneration? What the hell is going on? Fans go crazy over those titles. And they do those on purpose to get people, like, riled up.
Well, and the doctor's wife, which, by the way, I think is my all-time favorite episode of that Blink are my 2 favorite Doctor Who episodes. Right,
Blink is awesome.
But yeah, the doctor's... Nothing to do with Doctor. I mean, nothing. There's nothing at all. It's like, oh, you really have to dig deep to figure out what that title meant.
Okay, so there's another kind of binge watching that I do. And again, you had mentioned on the last episode pulling out your geek card. I'm pulling out my geek card. And that's on the web. And that is, remember when I said I couldn't play Bioshock Infinite, but I was fascinated by the story of Bioshock Infinite. It has a weird science fiction-y...
It's very weird.
Is it time travel-y too?
It's steampunk.
It has time travel in it. And it's more like time dimensional, and everything's causal effect, and has these great characters in it. But I never finished the game. Well, then I found Jesse Cox on the web, and he does game playthroughs, and he'll post them as playlists. So literally, you can just watch him play the whole game. And he's very entertaining. So much fun to listen to. But I binge watched multiple games, and I don't have to play it. Lovely. But I get all the story, and I can see him suffer and do whatever he has to do. And I can just kind of sit back and enjoy the tale that the game was, you know, the writers of these video games are just phenomenal. So now we have that as well. You can go to YouTube and just go crazy for hours and hours and hours on pretty much any different type of subject that you want. So
I would have to say that if I'm doing any binge watching at all, it's probably YouTube. I'll find a topic and I'll find somebody's channel and I'll go, all right, I'm watching all of this.
Yeah.
I need to start going to YouTube. This is so embarrassing to admit. So I haven't been on YouTube in forever, and the last time I was on YouTube is because I love the show Torchwood, and so I went through and found all the videos that were titled about Yondu.
About who?
Yanto.
Who a character.
It was one of the characters, and it was people who like had put cheesy music and showed all the different scenes of Yanto.
And you watched those.
All the time.
Is that your geek card?
That's my, yeah, here's my geek card.
And then there's another, a whole another, and we could do an entire episode of this, so we probably can't start talking about it now, but binging a book.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is hours and hours, and doesn't have to be a trilogy, although that is its own binge-worthy.
Yeah, that's got to be separate, because I can't tell you how many times I've read the first book, and then I'm immediately buying the next four ones in the series so I can read through it.
Yeah. Exactly. But I was thinking of The Stand, and that was, you know, so I was talking about binging first time with Battlestar Galactica, but when I think about way back when I started The Stand, one of the techniques he uses, and I think Tolkien uses this too, so it's not like a new technique, it's not like he invented the technique, but he would end a chapter with a character, and then he was following several different storylines, so he'd end a chapter following one, and that character was in jeopardy, but then you would turn to the next page, and you were starting where another character was left in jeopardy. And I could not stop reading that. I had to tear through, because first of all, I wanted to know what was going on with every single character, but yeah, so you can totally see what I'm talking about.
And that would annoy me so much, and I have to know, I will flip through and find the next chapter where they're at just to see what happened.
And you can do that easily with a book. But not so easily when you're reading it on your Nook or your digital, you know.
You can, because there's a button you press and it jumps you to the next chapter.
Yeah, but you don't know for sure who is it, so you have to, it's just harder to search.
But I just keep doing it until I find it. I'm committed.
Which, you just push through.
That's right. Speaking of spoilers, okay, this is how bad I am. What was that? It's a book. My roundabout way of remembering things. Presumed Innocent. Okay, so
Scott Turrell.
Right.
Harrison Ford movie.
Right, Harrison Ford movie, but in the book, and I'm not going to spoil it, but, you know, at the end, there's a huge reveal of who the killer was, right? And I'm so bad, and my friends knew me so much that my friend who lent me the book told me that either I promised not to read it or she was tearing the pages out right now, and I had to promise not to look.
Oh, just skip ahead.
Just skip ahead. Because every book I use, well...
I will skip ahead.
98% of the time on a book, I'll read the end first.
Oh.
I'm Harry from When Harry Met Sally. I could die. I need to know.
I actually have a friend who told me the exact same thing. She's like, she buys a book. She reads the last few pages. I'm like, who does that?
Kelly does.
Apparently there are more people than I knew.
And if a book has an epilogue, that epilogue is always read first. Always.
It's epa for a reason, Kelly.
Always read it first. I have to know.
So you need to basically read books on your Nook with like a subscription service. So you don't actually get that until you reach a certain point. Like, it could tell.
No, because I would never do that, because it would drive me nuts. I have to know.
So, let me ask you this, because I am so opposite of that. I do not want to know. This was a couple years ago, when the last Star Trek movie came out, Into Darkness. And there was a shroud of... you know, obscurity over who Benedict Cumberbatch was playing. People were thinking it might have been this guy, it might have been that guy. And one of the websites that I go to was Yahoo, because I liked the news format. And there was a bar on the front page that you go on Yahoo, and it immediately said, I'm going to just say it because everybody knows, it says, Benedict plays... Khan in new Star Trek movie. I was so angry. I'm telling
you. Did you like write them or something or ban them? Or
I didn't. No, I'm not.
You just see I'm not fire that. Shot out of his head.
Fire out of my nose. Fortunately, I had a fire extinguisher. But I was so angry at Yahoo for putting that in the headline of something that I had no choice but to look at. And so I was spoiled just based on the fact that I go to a web page all the time, and boom, it's spoiled for me. I was so angry, I haven't been on Yahoo ever since. Because screw them.
Okay, so this is how opposite we are.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Here's even more opposite. If I see a movie and I see trailers for a movie, and I'm really interested, I want to know what happens, Because I don't know if I've ever been opening day in a movie. So I will, starting opening day, be checking Wikipedia for the plot summary so I can know what happened.
But I guess what I'm trying to figure out is why. Because my
it's a control thing. So,
it is?
Yeah. It's okay. Why I like to do it in certain cases, not all, but especially in the emotional movies, like
I need to know what's going to happen. I need to prepare myself.
Yeah, I cannot go into. I do not like my emotions played with at all, unless I specifically know they're going to be safely played with. Like I walked into Guardians of the Galaxy knowing Zippo and very, very happy about it.
Yeah, me either. I didn't know anything either.
And
I loved
mainly
it.
Because I knew no matter what was going to happen at the end of the day, I was going to walk out smiling, giggling, and laughing. Whereas if it's something that's going to be a gut wrencher, I am not a fan. I do not like it because I will be destroyed. I am that I just will be done for days.
Or something that's going to be a waste of my time. So, like,
yeah,
I recently watched a movie pre somethings with Ethan Hawke. It's like pre.
Destination?
Yes. Which I knew nothing about. If I would have known what it was, it made me so angry. Angry in the fact that I'm like, I know if fantasy movies are not real. However, there are certain things, and okay, so this is how bad I am about things where if I know that it never can happen, it takes me out, and my friend laughs about me this all the time. I saw Hairspray. This is how weird I am. I watched Hairspray, and I said, it took me out of the movie. And she said, what? And I said, because Christopher Walken and John Travolta have blue eyes. Tracy had brown eyes. Two blue-eyed people can't have brown eye child. Whereupon my friend went, you moron. Two men can't have a baby. Anyway, I realized that. But in the movie, it's a woman and a man, and two blue-eyed people can't have a brown eye child. So that's how I am. Okay, so with this movie, there's a plot point in it, and I'm like, that is so can't happen that it just took me out and I hated it and I couldn't. I was mad I watched it. And if I would have known about it ahead of time, I never would have watched it.
And you're talking predestination.
Yes.
Are you saying that you saw this plot point and it took you out of the movie and it ruined it for you?
And it made me so angry it ruined the movie and I was mad I had to sit, that I sat through it.
I actually love that movie. I'm not saying this to troll you.
Because if I tell you why it made me angry, it'll ruin the whole thing.
Once
we get off, I'll tell you why.
Right. I'm just saying.
I know. And my friend who I saw it with loved it, and he's like, "It made because you're thinking and da 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 da." I'm like, "No, it's not. This is so stupid." And it was
If there was a cartoon of this dialogue, it would be Kelly on one side holding a banner going, "Spoilers are awesome," and Kevin going, "Down with spoilers."
And I'll have to, if I'm like watching a movie night with friends, I have to make sure if I don't want to be spoiled, I have to make sure my phone's nowhere near me because I will look it up.
Yeah.
And there was one movie and I can't remember the title and it doesn't matter, but it was this horrendously stupid movie and I'm like, this is dumb. And I looked up the end and they're all, and I'm like, yeah, it's stupid and it was totally predictable.
If I feel like it's getting out of control, with what's going to happen, I will go and find the spoiler because I don't want that to happen. I don't. On the flip side, if I'm watching something and I'm really enjoying it, I will purposely avoid spoilers like I was doing with Dragon Age.
Yeah, well, for me, I am different in the sense that I like the gut punch. When you were talking, Katie, about the about not wanting that surprise, not wanting your emotions being manipulated kind of in a way you don't want. I like that, actually. I like that feeling of getting the left hook that I didn't see coming. I'll refer to the movie Seven. I won't mention the end of Seven, but the end of Seven was what I consider one of the greatest endings I've ever seen.
And I never saw that. But I saw a spoiler of the ending, and so I purposely never watched it.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's how I use spoilers,
actually. It's one of those things where the movie, like, brings you down, and then at the very end, it just stomps you in the ground.
Yeah. No, thank you.
And I can say, in all honesty, if I had known about the ending, not only would I have been really angry, I would not have watched the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it would have been a waste of time for me.
Yeah.
Because I felt, because this is the way I feel about spoilers, is I like that feeling of surprise. I like that feeling of the left hook I didn't see coming, or whatever. And if somebody blurts something out, it deprives me of that joy.
Or agony.
But
I think Fight Club is where I got joy. And that's something where it would have been tragic, frankly, if that spoiled for someone before seeing it. And when you get to the end, you immediately want to see it again. It's just such a cool thing. That and Sixth Sense, same thing. I mean, you get to the end and you have to see it again. But for those to be spoiled, it ruins the entire movie.
I have to admit, I have read spoilers when I probably shouldn't have, and it has ruined it. But that's that thing about having to know. Though, with like Sixth Sense, which I had been spoiled, which I didn't think was going to spoil it to the degree it did. So, I didn't see it. But seeing his other movies, boy, does he telegraph stuff.
Tell what stuff?
Telegraphs it.
Like, you're talking about M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, like The Village. I'm telling you, we watched the first, I don't think we saw 5 minutes of it. And I turned to my friend and said, this is what this is. And he goes, you've seen it. And I said, no, and I haven't read anything. And he went, no. And that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, The Village is not the best example of M. Night Shyamalan. But Unbreakable
was... That was a good movie.
Unbreakable.
Incredible movie.
Was amazing.
Yeah.
And it didn't have as big a twist as Sixth Sense. And it didn't have to. Whole point of the movie wasn't about this big twist. It was interesting and... But it was the journey. That journey was really good.
I do want to mention that I'm not like completely anti-spoiler, because with Doctor Who, Kelly, you'll know this, there was the first six or so scripts were leaked out of last season. And so I downloaded them because I found the link. And so I had the full scripts of the first six episodes. And some I ignored, but I got to a point where I'm like, you know, I'm going to read one. And so I read one, and it was The Robots of Sherwood, if you know that episode. And so I read that, and I'm like, I kind of like having read the script before seeing the episode.
That would make me just not watch the episode. But to me, I
like the production aspect of movies, TV shows, even radio dramas. I love that. So reading the script didn't ruin it for me. What it did is it made me wonder if the visuals of the TV show matched my imagination.
Yeah, see, that's what I was thinking. Because mostly, I don't know if I've ever downloaded and read a full script. I have for other, I feel like for plays, I've read the script and then seen the play. I don't think it's as bad of a spoiler because, you're picturing in your head to see if it matches, but being told ahead of time this person dies or this is what the hook was, then I see that more of a spoiler than a script, to be honest. It sounds weird.
That is like reading the book before you see the movie.
Exactly.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like reading Hamlet. How many different versions of Hamlet have there been on stage? It doesn't spoil it that you know how Hamlet goes. You go to the theater and you see Hamlet, you're going to see a different experience than, say, Kenneth Branagh's version of Hamlet. So,
which is funny. Once again, you're highbrow Hamlet. I'm thinking, I read Pippin, and then I saw Pippin. And...
Well, this went from binge to spoilers, but good conversation. So thank you for listening. Please like us and subscribe, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. We'd love to get your feedback on this week's episode. You can follow us by using the Twitter handle @WECPodcast. That's WEC with two Ks. Like us on our Facebook page by searching for the keyword WEC, or you can email us at WECPodcast@gmail.com. Bye for now.